This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend a warm welcome to you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will be given at the close of the program. We thank you for listening today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
What does it mean when we hear people say, "I am at peace with God"? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that as we walk through this world with all of its turmoil, frustrations, and concerns, that you have offered us peace. But what does it mean, O God, that we can have that peace with you, not only in eternity, but while we are walking through this world? Help us also to learn from your word what peace really is, and how you are anxious to give it to us, and it is by your grace that we experience it. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, we live in a world that is filled with mystery. We don't have to go any further than to look at the computer that is in the home of us. Now, we have a computer, and I know the basics, I think, of the machine. I can use the word processor and write a letter far better than I could on a typewriter. I know how to do an email and write a letter to my grandson who is over in Liverpool, and after I have clicked the send key to realize that he has it, I even can go so far as to get online and find a bundle of information on whatever topic I am exploring. I like the computer, but I'm willing to have it stay right there. Now, when my grandchildren come home and they get on the computer, they show me all kinds of things that that machine can do that I don't even want to learn about. That's the way it is. We live in a world of mystery. And for the younger generation, as far as the computer is concerned, that is not a mystery anymore, for they have grown up with it. But for us oldsters, yes, sir, it's a mystery from beginning to end. Well, I don't want to talk about that mystery today, but rather turn you to the text that we have for this 24th Sunday after May. It is recorded in the 5th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, and here the apostle writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." Now, where is the mystery in this text? And what I'd like to turn our thoughts to for just a little bit today is centered on that theme, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. When you hear that, some people will wonder, is that not a bit ridiculous? Tom Wright, the Bishop of Durham in the Church of England, has written an interesting little commentary on one part of this, and let me quote to you from what this man says. "To talk about peace with God seems nonsense to many people today. How ridiculous to think that God might be concerned about these millions of people and still be watching me tie my shoelaces? The absurdity lies in our picturing God just like us, only a little bit bigger," Bishop Wright says. "God is a creator of all. And yet, because his nature is love, it is possible for him to establish personal one-on-one relationships with every single one of us. That's mystery. How can God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, be in a relationship with us that gives us peace, a peace which passes all understanding? This is not knowledge which is meant to be rationally understood. It is rather accepted in faith and experienced daily. God wants us to live at peace with him. He wants to establish that peace. He wants it to be on a very personal relationship. This is our God who comes to us today in the Word. And I tell you, my friend, that as we look at the state of the world of which we are a part, and sometimes into the inner parts of our soul, how we are treating ourselves if we deny one of God's greatest blessings to us, that peace that Paul talks to us about today. I have just looked into the face of a little child. Came to my office with his father, and we visited for a while. The father was carrying the child in a basket. And as I looked into that little face, what a beautiful child, a nice little boy. A little boy who will grow up to be, we pray, a great person of God. He is created in the image of God. He's got a mind that can think. He's got a body that's going to grow. He's got a will that is beginning to be seen already, that he wants to make his own decisions and his own will known. This is all a part of being created in the image of God. He, like all the rest of us, has inherited his parents' genes and features, including a nature that is sinful. Not to be personal to the little child who I just looked at, I'll go to myself. I also was born into a loving home, and I was a fortunate person. God had endowed me with many, many blessings, but he had also permitted Satan to do his work in this world, and as a result, I had inherited the nature of my father and my mother, which is sinful. And God can have nothing to do with sin. And so in that sense of the word, I was the created image of God, but I was not the spiritually created image of God. And Jesus clears this up for us when one night a man came to him by the name of Nicodemus. And he said to him, Jesus, we know that you are a great teacher. And then he began to expound on his questions, I'm sure. And Jesus turned to him and said, Nicodemus, except a person be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was floored at that. There was mystery behind this. Being born again, what does this mean? And then Jesus said, except ye be born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, there has to be a rebirth. We have to be born again. And it is in that rebirth that you and I are given that peace of God. The person who is at peace with God is a person who has not only been created by God, but has been redeemed by God, and that is what God wants. Now, this is clearly taught in this word which is given to us today. Notice St. Paul says, therefore, we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In order that that sin could be taken away, as we have heard so often, we say again today, we have to have a Savior. And that Savior has come into this world to suffer and to die in order that all of that sin might be taken away. Then God has free access to us. And it is under those conditions, with the sin completely forgiven in Christ Jesus alone, that God endows me with that peace. And in that peace, you and I can live. Again, I hurry on to say, it is not a peace that can be intellectually explained. It is an experience that we have to have day by day as God continues to shower that peace upon us. Today, there are those people who have never heard of that word, peace with God. And they would ask the question, well, what in the world do you mean by it? Now, I think not only of the people who are in faraway lands where the gospel is not proclaimed as it is here. I think of the people who live in our communities and have no understanding of what that word peace means. One woman said to me, well, peace means one thing for one person and peace means another thing for another person. But as I understand peace, as far as the dictionary is concerned, it is a freedom from anything that is upsetting. We say, I got to get away for a little peace. Well, again, there are those people who do not know what this peace with God is really all about. I recall, and I've mentioned this from time to time as years have gone by, the person who came to my office and sat down and asked me if I would describe Jesus Christ, what the Christian faith was all about. We weren't very far into that conversation before it became very clear to me that this fellow had no understanding of the church. And so I said to him, what church do you belong to? And he turned to me and said, would it surprise you to know that I have never been to a worship service on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, or whenever it might be, he had never been to a worship service. He had been to a funeral. He had been to a wedding. But he said, I cannot recall of ever going to church. I said, didn't anybody ever invite you? Well, he said, if they did, I have forgotten about it. So I said, well, I'm going to ask you to come to church next Sunday. I want you to come to a worship service. And so he did, and that began to create a real fellowship and finally led by the grace of God to this person's conversion. If I had talked to him about the peace of God, he wouldn't have known what I was talking about. He'd never heard it. I think it causes us in the church to realize that we take altogether too much for granted. There are many people around us who throw these words around, and they hear them thrown around. But what does it really mean? To be reunited with God, with the God who created us and gave us a mind and a will, but a God who said, now, even though you have rebelled against me, I've sent you my Son, and he has forgiven you that sin, and now I want to bring to you that peace, which you can enjoy while you walk on the planet Earth and fully understand it when you get to heaven. The person who has never heard it. Secondly, there are the people who have heard it and decided this is nonsensical. In other words, a God who is the creator of this whole thing isn't understanding my problems or doesn't have time for my problems, where I am, my cares, my concerns, my heartaches, my depths in depression, and all of the rest. He doesn't have time for this. He is the Almighty. Well, there are many of those too. But thanks God, there are those who have been redeemed in Jesus Christ. Christ, who has gone to that cross, has died, had our sins taken away, and the Christ who every day says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. That is a mystery. That is the biggest mystery that surrounds us in this lifetime. But as you go on in this text that is ours, we soon learn that being at peace with God does not free us from all of our sufferings. For here he says we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. Don't we have our moments where there is very little to give us peace as far as the world is concerned, but an awful lot to make us very disturbed. In these days, with hearing again and again, I've lost my job. I'm 50-some years old, and I can't hardly expect to get one that would equal it. Can I even get a job? That's a tough question for many today. It's in this world, at this time. Is this text true, to talk about the peace with God when I don't have a job, when I don't have health, when I'm a young person, just beginning therapy, having had my first dose of chemotherapy, having been diagnosed with a malignancy? Can there be peace there? Is there peace when one after another is afflicted in the same family? Can there be peace when a child who you raised in the faith and one whom you loved with all of your heart walked away from God? Can there be peace when your earnings and your savings have been all but wiped out? Can there be peace when you continually look at these newscasts night after night after night, and it doesn't seem to be anything going right until the conversation that we have in our society is so negative that you just want to fly away from it all? Yes. Paul says here that when I am suffering the most, that is when I am the strongest. Because then I realize that in midst of all of this suffering that I am going through, God stands with me. God is real. That is what we say in the great old hymn, living in the everlasting arms of God. He is surrounding me. He does not free me from my suffering. He permits it to happen to me as well as to anybody else. But when I am suffering, I have a God who stands right there with me. In this suffering, we can be tested. And as Paul says, the testing makes perseverance. And perseverance finally ends up with hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. I don't get strong if I don't exercise. I don't get strong spiritually, perhaps, without suffering. For it is there that God's word is not only a group of words that are put together, but they are meaningful. They are truth. I can have peace. So when I look into the face of that beautiful baby boy, I see great possibilities. The possibility of a mind that can develop, the possibility of a body that can grow strong and be athletic, the possibility of a will that can be converted through the new birth, and he can experience, in spite of all, that peace with God. I know what we mean, and I have said it myself, that sometimes I worry about the world we are turning over to our children. And I think there is a lot to worry about there. Certain of the great biblical truths that we practiced and felt good with and built our families around are now being questioned even by the courts. And some of them are being taken away from us because it supposedly is not American or whatever you want to call it. It was those truths upon which we built our faith. And now our family is going to have to live without some of these rights, without some of these wrongs. And who knows, without this, some of this gospel, perhaps. But God says, if I can walk with you, if you will experience that peace which I am anxious to give you, there is nothing to fear, for I am here, and I will sustain and comfort you for the rest of your lives and then on into eternity. Isn't that a mystery? A bigger mystery than the computer, a bigger mystery than all of the other great inventions that we see now. They're interesting, to be sure, but nothing as great as a peace of God which we have through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Amen.
Sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes our sorrows, heals our wounds, and drives away our fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. Is manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest.
Father in heaven, you know the aches and the pains of each one of us, far greater than we know them ourselves. And so we pray today, will you give us a rich measure of your peace? Will you ground us so in these biblical truths that we can come and cast our cares on you and experience that peace, that we can know that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that those words are true. And we can know that no matter what the future has in store for us, we can face it positively, knowing that we will receive strength, knowing that we will receive grace that is adequate to go ahead. We ask your blessings to rest upon those who are sick, those who suffer, Lord, those who die. Many of them, of course, having spent their entire lives and are ready to go home, for they have had enough of this great time here on earth. But others who are right in the midst of their days, raising their children, and they get these difficult diagnoses. Oh God, you know them. We know some of them. Give to them that peace by giving to them a faith in Jesus Christ, who will always sustain, comfort, and walk with us. In whose name we pray, amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that the message you've heard today will be a source of inspiration in the coming week. On this Memorial Day weekend, we pause to remember our friends and family members who have passed away. Let us also be reminded of those who gave their lives in service for our country. And out of gratitude, think about what this has meant for us. Perhaps you have a loved one and you wish to honor by giving a memorial gift to Christian Crusaders. If so, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We are finding that more and more people are visiting our website each month. While on the site, many are listening to the sermons, often downloading them to their iPods to be heard while they are on the go. Or others choose to simply read the printed copies. A new feature on the site is a slideshow presentation on Christian Crusaders history. To learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. For a cassette tape or printed copy of today's program, you may direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth every Sunday since 1936.